In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we will start commenting on the book of Romans, or the epistle of St. Paul sent to Romans. Romans simply means Rome, and Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire. So it was like the most important city in the whole world in the first century. And at that time, about the second part of the 50s, like 58th of the century, Roman people were not Christian. Most of them were pagans. Few of them were Jew, and many of them were baptized. The Jew people were baptized to be Christian, and some of the pagan became Christian. So there was a problem, that people originally Jew did not respect enough the people came from the pagan background. And you know, there was a big problem in the whole church that some of the Pharisees became Christians. They said that for any Christian, he should be a Jew before being a Christian. And circumcision is very important. And also the law of Moses is important in salvation. So Paul went to Jerusalem and he had a great meeting. The first council happened in the history in Jerusalem. And the apostles blessed the way St. Paul was preaching the Bible. And they considered his service, his ministry. And they agreed that people coming from the pagan background are not supposed to be Jew people. They just have to believe in Christ as God and believe in Christian faith and starting to be good Christian, living in Christian morals. But although this meeting was, you know, very strong and the council was very decisive, still, many of these people went to Rome and to many other cities preaching their false teaching, that they kept saying that for anyone coming from a non-Jew background, he should believe in the law of Moses and become first Jewish people and then become Christian. So the letter of Romans was about this problem. It's all about the salvation through Christ Jesus. And to reply, to respond strongly against the heresy, what we call Judaism, that people believe that being a Jew is important in their story of salvation. So in order to understand the story of salvation, Paul had to tell a long story about why God should save people, why Christ became man, what is the idea of salvation. He should start with the corruption idea, with the problem, in order to solve the problem. So the letter of Romans is like 16 chapters, but it's very sequential, it's very logical. It's, you know, the highest in reasoning in the epistles written by St. Paul. And also it's the main reference to understand the salvation, the Christian salvation in all books of the Bible. This book, the letter of Romans, were written like 58, and most probably it was written through the third journey by St. Paul. And at that time he was in Corinth, in Greece. But the letter was sent to Romans. Many of his disciples were Roman people. That's why the last chapter, chapter 16, is full of names. These names are originally the disciples. They loved Paul and they followed him many years away from Rome. And they stayed in Rome and they started the church there. That's why he knew many of them. By the way, while writing the letter to Roman people, Paul did not visit Rome yet. You know, you all know that Paul went to Rome as a prisoner many years later. So while writing the letter, he was not, you know, a preacher of Rome, the Roman city yet. So in order to simplify the idea, let's revise all the chapters before starting reading the chapter. The first chapter, St. Paul will focus upon the idea of the real need of all non-Jew people for salvation. The corruption happening in all the world, the darkness in the world, in all human beings, because they do not know God. So they all corrupted, they need to be saved. So that's the first chapter about the pagan, the people who were not Jew. The second chapter will focus upon the Jewish people, because although they know God, but still they are corrupted, they could not fulfill the requirements of the commandments of the law of Moses, so they still need to be saved. So the first chapter about the pagan status, and the second chapter about the Jew people. The third chapter will focus upon the Savior. There should be a Savior, and he should not be a normal man, because all men were corrupted. So he should be God-man. So that's the need for God to be incarnated. So he made it very clear in chapter 3 that the salvation through Jesus Christ, who is the real God who came to save man. Again, the first chapter about the pagan, the second about the Jew, the third about the Savior. So the fourth chapter about Abraham. Because, you know, the Jew people consider Abraham as their father, and they consider Abraham as the pillar of the Jewish religion. And they look up to Abraham as if these people are not sons and daughters of Adam, but just sons and daughters of Abraham. So they consider themselves different from any other people in the world. So he explained the idea of Abraham as the forefather of all believers. He is not the father of the Jew, he is the father of the believers, because he was considered righteous man just because he believed in Christ, he believed in God. So by believing in God, he considered as righteous. So it's not related to circumcision, it was not related to the law, because the law of Moses was not there yet. So Abraham is not the father of the Jew, but the father of the believers. So again, the first chapter about the pagan, the second about the Jew, the third about the Savior, the fourth about Abraham. The fifth chapter will consider the idea of Adam. Adam is the model of all human beings. Adam is the father of all men. Adam was the start of the problem. Adam broke the commandment. That's why corruption came into the nature of Adam and his offspring. So there should be another Adam, the second Adam, who will change this. He will bring life to the dead Adam offspring. So the fifth chapter about Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. The sixth chapter will consider the idea of baptism, because I'm a son of Adam, but in order to be a son of God, to follow Christ, I have to be baptized, to be born again. So by this baptism, Christian baptism, will take me from being a son of Adam to be the son of God. Let's revise it again. First chapter about the pagan corruption. The second is the Jew corruption. The third about the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth about Abraham, the father of all believers. The fifth one, Adam, is the core of the problem. And the sixth chapter about baptism. The seventh chapter will tell us about the story of the conflict in man. For all Christians, we still have some part of the nature of Adam. And now we have the Holy Spirit of the Lord. So there is a conflict, there is a war, there is kind of a struggle. To follow Christ, we should struggle against the old nature, Adam nature, to be like Christ. So we will consider the 7th chapter as the struggle chapter. The 8th chapter will tell us, if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, now you will be saved. Because the Holy Spirit will take you up, will take you in the way of the Lord Christ, will take you away from the old nature of Adam. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit is the goal of the Christian life. That's in chapter 8. Chapter 9 will tell us that, you know, the idea of chosen people. The Jew people considered themselves as being chosen. So what is the doctrine of God's choice? How God chooses his people? Because the Jew people considered that God is not allowed to choose anyone but Jew people. So St. Paul defended the freedom of the Lord to choose everyone. And he made it clear that the idea of being chosen is very much related to the belief, to the faith. If you believe in God and in his word, now you will be chosen. But if you stop believing in him, you are not anymore chosen. And that's exactly what happened with the Jew people. Because they lost the faith of Abraham, they cannot follow Christ in the New Testament. So they are not now chosen. But for all believers who believe in Christ as the real God and the Savior, now they became the chosen people in the New Testament. That was the chapter number 9. Chapter 10, about the prophecies. Because many of those who will read the letter of Romans from the Jewish background, they will not be happy with this idea that they are equal with the faith in Christ. They will now be equal with the pagan Christian people. So he proved the idea, the doctrine, from the prophecies. He brought up many prophecies in the Old Testament to prove that the coming Messiah, that Christ is not just the Savior of the Jew people, he is the Savior of all people. And many, many prophecies were very clear about the God of all the world, God saving the whole, all nations, not only the Jew people. Let's revise again. If you follow me now, chapter 1 is about the pagan corruption, chapter 2 is the Jew corruption, the third one about the Savior, the fourth is about Abraham, the father of faith, the father of all believers. Chapter 5, Adam is the problem and Christ is the solution. Chapter 6, baptism will take me from Adam's side to Christ's side. Chapter 7 will focus upon the conflict or the struggle. Chapter 8 will make it clear that the guidance, the control of the Holy Spirit is our utmost goal in life. Chapter 9, about the chosen idea. We are chosen now in the New Testament being believers in Christ. Chapter 10 about the prophecies given in the Old Testament to prove that the coming Messiah for all nations, not only for the Jew people. Chapter 11 will spoke about the plan of God. St. Paul make it very nice, in a very nice way, that God was planning for all of this. After the sinful act of Adam and Eve, the plan of God is to choose somebody like Abraham and the nation, the people coming out of him. But you know, he was trying to get all people to the salvation. So the plan was starting with the Jew, and the Jew will reject God's word, so the salvation will be very much accessible to all pagan people, and in the last days, Jew people will believe in Christ, So in this way, the plan will be completed by the salvation of all nations. So we will just consider chapter 11 at the plan of God. Now the doctrine of salvation is clear. From chapter 1 to chapter 11, the doctrine of salvation, salvation through Christ the Lord. From chapter 12 to chapter 15, how to live a Christian life. So the practical part of the letter of Romans from chapter 12 to chapter 15, the doctrinal part, the story of salvation, the idea, the ideology of Christian salvation is from chapter 1 to chapter 11. And by the way, that's the usual way of St. Paul in writing his letters. He always starts by the doctrinal part and end up with the practical part, how to live a Christian life. From chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, he will tell us how to love people, how to pray unceasingly, how to share the pains and the sufferings of everyone, how to look up to heaven, to catch the kingdom of heaven. So it's kind of like the sermon of St. Paul, like the Sermon on the Mountain given by the Lord himself. It's the same commandments given by the Lord, but in St. Paul's words, guided by the Holy Spirit. The last chapter, chapter 16, is kind of greetings his disciples. Many, many names mentioned in chapter 16 because Paul did not visit Rome yet, but at that time many of his disciples were serving the Church of Rome. So he sent his greetings, his blessings to many of these people who were baptized earlier in many other countries like in Corinth, in Athens, in Galatia. And they stayed at that time in Rome and started serving the Church of Rome. And he promised in the letter that he is trying to come to Rome and that's his ambition, but God did not allow for this yet. So Roman letter or the book of Romans is like a great stone in the Bible because it explains in a very good way, very logic way, the idea of salvation and how Christ is saving everyone through believing in him and through the sacraments and through the Christian life after. Glory to God. Amen.